Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Zone to Zone. Hope everybody's had a good day. Just thought I'd come on here for about a half hour and just keep the show rolling along. The title of the show, in reality, in the introduction part, is Frozen System is what we have here. Frozen system is what we have here. What do you think that really means? That just means we have a frozen political system that's not working. It's frozen. It's pretty much not going to, and it's not, there's nowhere around where there's a better temperature to thaw it out. So we have to correct these things. And I think that's what we're about to see in the next couple of years. In fact, I think everybody needs to be pushing for that. This is not about a political affiliation or political party. This is about the survival, literally the survival of your country. 80,000 to 90,000 jobs have just gone away. New Mexico, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, just three I'm going to name right now. I can go to Nevada if you want. Four states that voted for the Democrats under Joe Biden are in doom and peril as we speak. They are being affected by this fracking. And also Alaska has been affected simply by the ANWR situation. And as of right now, and I may be off when I say this, hopefully I am, we don't have any federal conservative or any kind of judge whatsoever stopping this mess. Because in the executive order, a judge is the only one that can, in reality. No one likes to. But if a federal job had any gonads, or whatever the case may be, female, whatever, had any gonads to fix this problem, they would say no. Because we've already had a federal judge say no to Joe Biden's executive order on stopping deportation. Okay? Where on earth is it written in a constitution that is, by the way, is a constitutional republic? Where is it written there that we are supposed to take care of people that come in here illegally? Where is it written? It's not written anywhere. But the Democrats that are in power, and I keep saying the Democrats because that's really what it is. It's a far, 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 far left Democrat few with a bartender and a president that are running the show. They're running the show. One Congress critter can hold up an entire nation of 330 million people just like that. That's why we have a frozen system. We don't have a system that has got any checks and balances anymore right now. Five senators made the move, this Murkowski character, Collins, Romney, and the other two I really don't care for. I can't even find their names, but there's five of them that voted today to basically go after the impeachment of Donald Trump after the man's out of office. We know that's not going to – it's not going to hold any water. It's not going to pass. It's not going to pass. So I think what we have to understand here is we have a system that is designed strictly right now for mob rule, and it is mob rule. It's under democracy, which is a cult and is a mob rule, and therefore we got to end that. We got to stop by saying democracy from now on or democratic republic. We've got to stop saying those words. We've got to end that. We can't let that be a part of our system anymore. To unfreeze the system, we have to start where? Where do we start? In your schools. Your high schools, your junior high schools, your elementary schools, your PTA meetings, your so-called school council meetings, your city council meetings. This is where the elections begin. This is where you begin. You got to start fixing it now where you live. And you may already be doing that. That's great if you are. We need to get patriots in there. We need to get people in there that are going to actually fight for your kids. And they're going to fight for what's right for Americans. Americans, okay? Now, if you come from another country here to become an American and you do the right thing, get the right paperwork, get the visa, turn it around and become a citizen, then you're an American. Thousands upon thousands of people do that. So why is this these idiots in Washington making it free and safe and easy for others to just walk in here and get basically citizenship? And then, on top of that, bring them in, put them on welfare, set them up in a housing situation, and have you and me, the American taxpayer, pay the bill. we're back to where we were 6 to 7 years ago. And we don't need to be there. We need to get away from that. Period. So, how we fix it? Well, we've talked about how fixing it. We're going to fix it. We're going to have to start where? Start small and work your way up. And it's going to take some time. But the first 2 years right now are very crucial. And like we talked about the other day, this new Patriot Party is starting to really catch on fire. And literally catch on fire. Democrats, Republicans, independents, all are tired of their parties. All are tired of the situations they're in. And they want something concrete. And I think this is the actual concrete that they need. This is actually going to stay. It's not going to break off. It's not going to have cracks. This new Patriot Party is not a racist party. It's not for this. It's not for that. It's for equality of all Americans. Again, all Americans. Skin color is only brought up by the Democrats every 2 to 4 years, and I think people are sick of it. I think they are. And I think it's time for us to stop putting on a show and say that you care for their votes when you really don't. Because look what happened. There's a lot of black people that live in Pennsylvania. A lot of black people live in Wisconsin. A lot of black people live in Nevada. And also in New Mexico. And obviously in Alaska. And they're affected by this too. So where can the Democrats even try to put that on? Because for one thing, Donald Trump, when he ran for office, he got 20% of the black vote. That's unheard of. With the new Patriot Party, whoever's running for office for that will probably get a lot more than 20% now. After what we see happening with these executive orders trying to kill jobs at the expense of a bartender. I would like somebody to really take a look at the qualifications of this bartender. I won't even call it by name because it's a shame to call it by that. I'm shunning these people. This is a pseudo president to me. I don't have no time for this guy. And I won't make time. Crush free speech, and they're doing the best they can. And they're a disgrace to those that have served for hundreds of years to make this a better place. So we're going to sit here for about, I'd say, another 8-9 minutes and listen to an audio that I thought was very important. One that's going to be something you're going to have to really look back on and say, yeah, that's what we need again. We need this kind of grit. We need this kind of warrior attitude to fix this problem. And I'm going to start by letting you understand that the person you're going to hear about, and if you listen to it, you'll know who I'm talking about. But he created during the Revolutionary War, probably the start of what we see today as jungle warfare tactics, guerrilla warfare tactics. And now you'll be impressed to know what kind of man this was and what he did. But he's very, how can I put it, very hidden in the history books. No one wants to seldom talk about what he really achieved. And in fact, if it wasn't for him, we probably would not be, at that given time, would not be free of British tyranny at the time. So I want you to listen to this and you give your input after that and kind of sit down and write notes down if you want to and kind of take a listen to this, because this is something that we got to get back into. The history of our country in some areas is very important.
The South Carolina Hall of Fame was founded in Myrtle Beach in 1973 to recognize and honor contemporary and past citizens who have made outstanding contributions to South Carolina's heritage, history, and progress.
Believe me, good sir, I wish to be clear of every public employment. But to retire when my country calls for my poor abilities, I should call cowardice.
Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, is an early national and South Carolina historical figure whose story over time has been clouded with romance and legend. His contributions to the American Revolution not only forged this nation's independence, but also led to the evolution of combat.
In the years after the American Revolution, there were two great national heroes. One was George Washington, one was Francis Marion. Francis Marion is an exemplar of the people's struggle against tyranny.
The way we have written the history of the American Revolution tends to focus on the battles from New Jersey north. It seems to me that we have overlooked that Southern strategy and the fall of Charleston, the greatest American disaster during the war. It's a couple of sentences. Francis Marion is, if mentioned at all in modern textbooks, it's only in passing. The final stages of the war are fought and won in the South. And the role of men like Francis Marion in South Carolina was critical to that success.
Francis Marion was born around the year 1732 in Berkeley County, the grandson of French Huguenot immigrants. His family owned and lived on various plantations in the Low Country, including St. George and Utah Springs. At age 15, with the blessing of his parents, he became a sailor and was eventually shipwrecked and marooned somewhere between Georgetown and the West Indies. Marion and the surviving crew were rescued, and later, as a young man, he fought in the French and Indian Wars and served under Captain William Moultrie in a campaign against the Cherokee. By 1775, Marion had become a member of the South Carolina Provincial Congress. On June 21st of that same year, he was commissioned captain in the 2nd South Carolina Regiment and served again under William Moultrie, this time in the defense of Fort Sullivan and Fort Moultrie in the Charleston Harbor. In September 1776, the Continental Congress commissioned Marion as a lieutenant colonel, and in the fall of 1779, he took part in the Siege of Savannah.
The fall of Charleston, the surrender of the 2nd Regiment, was the largest disaster suffered by the American forces during the war. Thankfully for us, a few were not there to surrender to the British with the fall of Charleston, and among them were Peter O'Ree and, even more importantly, Francis Marion. The story has always been that in Charleston, just before the fall of Charleston, he was at a drinking party, and being a man of moderate habits, he chose to leave, but the host had locked the doors. So he jumped from a second-story balcony, I suppose, and injured what were already malformed ankles. The bottom line is, of course, he was on sick leave and not there to surrender.
One of the things people don't understand about the partisan war, the militia war, this is true of Marion's men and true of Bratton and Sumter and the others in the upcountry as well, and that is you never had the same group of people with you all the time. The size of his band fluctuated depending upon where the enemy was.
Marion's small group of people would have been Scotch-Irish, would have been French Huguenot, would have been English, and of course would have been African-American.
Marion understood the principles of guerrilla warfare, fighting from behind trees and bushes and that sort of thing. His idea was to lure the enemy into a situation where he, Marion, would have the advantage, and then inflict damage and disappear.
It had to be total chaos in South Carolina in the summer and fall of 1780.
Marion's band of ragtag fighters operated at times as the only oppositional force to the British Army in South Carolina. They did so without pay, supplying their own horses, food, and weapons. His intelligence gathering and military strategy afforded him victories and engagements at Mingo Creek, Fort Watson, Fort Mott, and the Battle of Utah Springs.
They never knew where Marion was because he never stayed in one place. Yeah, he had his headquarters at Snow Island, but he wasn't hunkered down there. That was just sort of where they sort of touched home base.
The situation with any Marion researcher is that there is quite a bit of myth mixed up in what we know about Marion. In fact, what we know about Marion versus what we think we know about Marion are radically two different things. Marion operated militarily as a partisan, mostly in the Low Country. There was no real permanent camp. There was a series of camps, and he moved. And he moved around, and he camped when he could. He dispersed his men off into the countryside. He kept detached outposts. So there's no doubt that Marion had several camps in the area. And probably no one camp was more important than the other. They were secure areas for that immediate period, and then they became threatened. He would move on. He had to keep on the move. He was in an area that was surrounded by loyalists. and the British were always going to be after him whenever they could. So like a good guerrilla leader, partisan leader, he moved around. He was able to keep a few men together long enough to give the British some trouble.
According to tradition and legend, we owe Bannister Tarleton, who may have been the most successful British commander, field commander in South Carolina. It was Tarleton who was quoted about, we'll go back and get the gamecock, Thomas Sumter, but as for this damn swamp fox, not even the devil himself could catch him.
What we need to remember is the great victory of the war was where? Yorktown. That's in Virginia. That's Cornwallis. From where was he coming? From South Carolina, for goodness sakes.
You can look at Marion's campaign today and compare it to what Mao Zedong wrote 200 years later. And it's a textbook for guerrilla fighting. The will of the wisp, the swamp fox, whatever you want to call them. You know, hit and run. Hit the enemy where they least expect you and then disappear. Your object is not to have a standing battle and to fight to the death. It is to inflict damage upon the enemy and then disappear. It was a dirty, nasty business. And Francis Marion, in his own way, was ruthlessly effective.
After the war, Marion married his cousin, Mary Esther Vidot, and the couple adopted a son. Marion served several terms in the South Carolina State Senate and eventually died on his estate in 1795 at the age of 63. Francis Marion is buried at Belle Isle Plantation Cemetery near Edytown, South Carolina.
There you have it. Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox. We could do with using a few more of those around right now, especially with the way the societies are today. No one's picking on anybody in particular here, but not too many people understand what they're getting themselves into until it actually hits them in the face. So the word proactive never applies to a lot of people. And this is what this party of the Democrats. And I keep on using the word Democrat. I know it's not. I'm going to say, I shouldn't really say Democrat Party. I should say left of the Democrat Party, because these are not what Democrats. I'm hoping it's not what they think. I'm quite sure it isn't, because we still see a lot of them leaving that party, just as much as we're seeing a lot leaving the Republican Party. This is why you have an independent party of almost 30 million, right? I mean, pretty much. This is why, because they're fed up of both. We could bang that out all day long, right? But I just wanted to play that brief description of Francis Marion, who basically, along with George Washington, were what? Pretty much the ones that took care of the British tyranny that we were under then, which were in a whole different ballgame now, people say. But I don't know. I don't know if I could say we're in a whole different light here now. Because now we got this new Patriot Party smashing a lot of different records by coming out and just destroying both parties in the way they're handling things. The platform that they're going to be under is going to be basically having to let you know that we are a constitutional republic, that we're not a democratic republic, and that we're not a democracy, and we're not all these other crazy words that these pundits like to throw around. A constitutional republic is what we are. Okay, we don't stand for anything but law. We don't stand for democracies, which they use the word so well to make it seem like such a great word. But the reality is, a democracy is a majority rule that can destroy your life. A republic, a constitutional republic, does not allow that to happen. You have opportunities with that. This is what we're seeing now. It's playing out on every forum. We're seeing this man sit down and write all these executive orders, and I'm quite sure he has no idea where he's at half the time, to be honest with you. It's a shame what he's been put through. And I blame a lot of that on his wife for putting him through that. This man does not deserve to go through it. He apparently has some kind of issue. And obviously that's another thing that needs to be addressed when running for office. And actually this position, medical examinations need to be done. I didn't see one medical examination done. Everybody talked about them, but nothing was done. They need to be addressed before you go into office. And they need to be independent, not party run, because we see what's happening today. This man is a puppet. He's a puppet for the bartender and the rest of them. pour me another drink. Boom. Here she is, the hand coming out. Here it is. This is what we have, and that's the problem we have. So with that said, patriots have been called a lot of things because of patriots. But a patriot is a person who vigorously supports their country and is prepared to defend it against enemies or detractors. We have detractors in the office right now. Detractors. These individuals are doing everything in their power to make it seem like they're doing what's right for the American people. And every time they do that, the guy walks up to the office he works at and is handed a pink slip. Sorry, Joe Biden just signed something. We're done. See ya. That simple. A man's livelihood is gone. A woman's livelihood is gone. Just like that. And a stroke of a pen. And this, again, this is not just happening to conservatives or independents. This is happening to Democrats too. They're going to work and they're not having any more work. They're coming back. Oh, wait a minute. What did we vote for? New Mexico, you voted for this guy. Pennsylvania, you voted for this guy. Wisconsin, apparently you voted for this guy too. And look what you got. Look what you're getting, I should say. He's not. He's got another 30 executive orders on his plate to sign, not knowing what he's signing, not caring what he's signing. And they talk about an overthrow of our government. I mean, believe me when I say this. This is the last thing we want to do, but we need to fix this fast. So we're called a lot of different things. Right? Called flag waivers, things like that. They have no idea what we are. We're loyal to the United States of America. We're loyal to these 50 states and territories. We're not loyal to any other countries anymore because all the other countries are loyal to themselves and loyal to getting after us. America is not China. America is not Russia. America is not South Africa. America is not Germany or France. America is America. The United States is not over there in the Mediterranean. It's right here with the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and a few other areas around it. That's us. That's us. That's where we're at. 330 million people are striving to do better things for America. So what's wrong with that? If we can't do what's better for us, how can we do better for other countries down the road? We can't. We can't help them out. And what's happening today is you're going to see that go right back to that. But luckily for us, Donald Trump for 4 years was able to build the economy up to a pretty good tilt here. Okay. And this man's going to take a lot to bring it down because I tell you what, federal judges, you better get your act together. I should say other words, but you should get your act together and stop this man. Because if you don't, we're coming after your jobs too. No job is secure. No job whatsoever. Because the new Patriot Party and the new thing that's happening here is called education and information. My little information, others. We're not going to listen to pundits telling us that this is how it's got to be. Well, no, we can't do that. Because you know what? They're secure. They got their books. They got their time. They got their thousands of dollars a day. They don't care about you or me. And I see that all the time at some of these, or hear that all the time on these radio stations. They cut people off left and right where they don't meet their narrative. Sad, isn't it? The narrative is simple. Take back America, period. As we grow, we'll continue to grow and keep doing what we're doing. That's exactly what it's going to be like. That's exactly what we're going to do. So when you take this thing and look at the two parties who have failed us completely, there's no more excuses, is there? None. It's time to put patriots in charge. That's right. Call us what you want, but put us in charge, and we'll show what we can do. Black, white, red, green, blue, orange, whatever your color is, we'll do it. Because we're all patriots. Preserve liberty for all, what? Through a constitutional republic. Preserve liberty for everybody through what? A constitutional republic. So start drumming that into your kids. Open up textbooks and start showing them what that means versus what they're being taught. Because schools, I can guarantee, are still using the democracy word. And I'll tell you what, these school teachers need to shut their mouths, man, because what they're teaching is wrong. And we need to shut them up. You have got to, again, like I said the other day, sit in that classroom. Sit in that classroom and listen to what they're teaching. I'm quite sure they won't like that or find a way. Most school systems need to have a system where we have cameras in those classrooms where we can hear what's going on. Because a lot of teachers, like I said a while ago, were teaching these kids at home on the Zoom situation. And parents in the background were starting to hear what they were teaching. Like, oh, no, 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 no. You're not teaching my kid that crap. That's not going to happen. It's my job to teach my kids certain things. And you're going to teach the curriculum. You're not going to teach them about what you think. Too many teacher power, which needs to be taken away. And the Patriot Party will do just that. It will take away the opportunity for them to continue to drain your kids of what? Knowledge. Drain your kids of being able to think for themselves. What the Democrats, the far, far, far left Democrats, want you to do is think for them. They want them to be the ones that tell you what to do. And that's why Donald Trump got 20% of the black vote. That's why Donald Trump got a historical amount of Hispanics to vote for him and Asians, because they are done with it too. This party's in dire straits, and you can't impeach the man. So there goes. There goes your little deal. You're done. You're done. So whatever you think you're going to do and get away with it, federal judges better step in. They need to start stepping in, period. Enough is enough. But again, like I say, it's not personal, but I totally detest the word democracy. Totally. To me, it's a cult. It's a word that's thrown around daily. We are a republic. And again, those words need to stick. Not one time do we see the word democracy in our Constitution, do we? It's not there anywhere. In all the 50 states, it's not even there. So why do we use that sorry-ass word? Get out of it. Republic. Constitutional republic is what we are. I just had to come on just for a few minutes and talk about that. It's a mind-boggling situation that we're living in right now. And I guess other countries went through it. I know the UK went through it, and they solved their problem by putting conservatives in line, by building the Brexit Party. And now they're doing better. This is probably what we're going to be doing. It's what we'll be doing, building a new party to put both parties to shame and to make it work. Oh, we're not going to be able to have a third party. Yes, we are. And we're going to continue to have a third party because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are done. They're just done. Have a good evening.